I'm Dave Cohen. It's WWL First News. Tommy's got the day off, so I'm glad to be here with you on this 4th of July, 2025. And so glad that Dr. Robert Hogan can be with us, the chair of political science at LSU. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning. Happy 4th of July.
Happy Independence Day to you. I asked Tim to find out from you, if he hasn't yet, tell him when we take a break what your favorite, most patriotic song is, and we'll play that coming back after we take a commercial break coming up. So we want to know your favorite, most patriotic song as well. People not as patriotic, perhaps, as they used to be. Gallup, since 2001, has been doing a survey asking people if they're proud to be American. And we've seen what the Associated Press describes as a steady erosion of people's American pride. Why do you think it is that we're seeing steady decreases in people who say that they are proud to be American?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of things are driving this. One of the big things that a lot of pollsters and social scientists have noted is that a lot of it is driven by younger Americans. Older Americans have similar levels of pride that they did 20 or 30 years ago, but younger Americans, particularly millennials, have demonstrated lower levels of pride than previous generations. And you know, there are a lot of reasons for that. One of the big things, of course, is the general cynicism that a lot of people have about the American political system and whether or not it is producing results that are beneficial to their particular generation. Another sort of reason for the younger people being less full of pride for their country, you know, probably has to do, especially if you compare it to older generations that sometimes have gone through great wars, right? The forgotten generation, older Americans, who remember what it was like fighting Japan and fighting Germany in World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, those kinds of periods of you know, war have a way of influencing one's level of pride, and the younger Americans haven't gone through that.
You think that's a good thing, of course, that we haven't had a world war in the lifetime of nearly everyone who's still on the planet. The number of World War II veterans or people who lived through World War II is steadily declining, and now we're talking about people who are over 100 years old and things like that. So I guess it's a good thing. While we've had conflicts, we've had wars, we have not had the same kind of world war where we have a draft, where we have Americans called into service, both on the home front and abroad, and where we have to have national pride because we have a clear enemy out there who, as a entire nation, brings us together to face, to fight, and to take on. I think that's a good point, that without that kind of motivation, that there's less for us as a country to rally around.
It's sometimes very difficult to find anything in common with people who are on the other side of the political divide, you know, without that sort of rallying sort of event. If you think about, you know, Generation Z, I mean, these are the people born between, you know, the late 90s and 2010 or 2012. They don't even remember 9/11, so they don't even have that. That was the last time, at least on American soil, there was a huge terrorist event that just seems to galvanize public opinion. But, you know, the other thing here, too, is, you know, the polarization that we have in the American political system today, Democrats and Republicans, conservatives and liberals, aren't as close as they were. There's not as much that they share in terms of ideology, in terms of worldview. And so you have that big divide. And so that has a way of creating, you know, even more cynicism or distrust and maybe lack of pride in the nation. And that's something that's been increasing in recent years as well.
Yeah, so, I talked about how the AP described it as a gradual decline, but to me it doesn't seem quite that gradual because in 2006, 80% of Americans said they were very or extremely proud to be American. After 9/11, it was 90%, and it went down to 80% 5 years later. And now less than 6 in 10 Americans, 58% of U.S. adults, say that they are very or extremely proud to be an American.
Mm-hmm. And you do have to ask yourself, sort of, what does pride mean? What does it mean to be proud to be an American? Some of these very, very related political scientists have found to trust in government. How the government is, the government doing things to solve your problems? And since that time, the last 10 to 15 years, we have seen huge upheavals in the American political system in a way that we haven't seen in many generations. And so you have a really wholesale change in our politics. And a lot of people find this, unsettling. They don't know what to think about it. And ultimately, I think what happens is that people aren't sure that the government can do, anything to solve the problems that they're worried about.
You know, that's very interesting to me that who is in power seems to have a lot of influence on how people feel about if they're proud of their country. And to me, that's a little sad. I mean, I know that the president of the United States is the face of America, is, the leader of America. But America has been around. I mean, we declared our independence in 1776, so we've got a pretty good history now. And when a lot of people I heard complaining, whether it was during Biden's presidency or after Trump's reelection and return to the White House, I always warn people. I said, these political pendulum swings seem to last about 4 years, and sometimes less than that. Sometimes midterm elections turn things around very quickly, and we see these wild swings in the political pendulum. And our nation's been through a lot since 1776, since we declared our independence from the United Kingdom, and we've survived a lot of trials and tribulations. And I just discourage people from assigning how proud they are of our country to who happens to be the president at the time.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. There are big differences between Democrats and Republicans, depending on who is in power. Right now, Democrats have far less pride in their government than they did a year ago when a Democrat was in the White House. And Republicans, vice versa. Although you do tend to see, there's a pretty good trend that the Republicans are more prideful than Democrats just in general. And that is due to the nature of each political ideology of each side. Democrats tend to emphasize more egalitarian issues in terms of their platforms and things that they're concerned about, things like income inequality, whereas Republicans tend to emphasize more freedom sort of issues. And that's why they focus a lot, I think, on issues like immigration and that sort of thing. Everyone wants to come to the United States. We have something that's great. Other people want to get it. And so you have these differences there, but you're right. There are big differences. The way they assess the government, the way they believe that the economy is going, is very often these days, far more than in the past, influenced by one's, partisan lenses that one sees the world.
That seems to be for every topic. I'm going to press the pause button right there. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll let the conversation continue from that point forward. I'm curious to hear what you think at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Are you proud to be an American, and is it based on your political party? Democrats by far, according to the latest survey from Gallup, as reported by the Associated Press, are less proud to be American, independents as well. Republicans still overwhelmingly are proud to be American, not so much with Democrats or independents, which is kind of interesting to me because it's the Republican Party that is fighting immigration so vehemently, Democrats who more talk about opening the borders and letting everyone in, but also more Democrats who are not proud of their country. When everybody else wants to come here, they're talking about going somewhere else. Where are you going to go? Where is there a better life? Where would you be more proud to be than the United States? Text me, 504-260-1870. We'll continue our conversation with Robert Hogan coming up, the chairman of Political Science Department at LSU. We'll find out his favorite most patriotic song after this as well here on this 4th of July, 2025. Okay. Now, down here in the Gulf Stream Islands, from sea to shining sea. That makes you feel patriotic. Thank you for that on this 4th of July. Do you see this trend continuing? growing of less and less people saying that they feel very or extremely proud to be American as we move forward? Or do you think there's, short of another world war, which we're not expecting, something else that could turn that around?
I mean, it's sad to say. I think it's going to take some sort of event that makes people, you know, understand that, you know, there's a lot that divides Americans in terms of the issues that they're concerned about, in terms of the priorities, the things that the government ought to, we as a people should be focusing our attention on. But I think it's going to take some sort of event or some way that focuses our attention, that we get away from this polarization that we have in our politics. I mean, there are lots of reasons for it. I think it's going to take something big, or some issue that we confront that's going to have to bring people together, because
we haven't had
this in a long time.
And that is a little sad that because we are fighting each other instead of fighting someone else, we have less pride in our nation. To me, that's a source of pride for our nation, the fact that we can disagree, the fact that we can vocalize our differences and have differences of opinion without being persecuted for those. I get that people who are on the losing side of the political spectrum right now, who don't have the president and the White House in control of the Congress, the Senate, and honestly, the Supreme Court as well, would feel that if the country's not going the direction they want it to, they have less pride in this country. I wish that American pride was not based on who is in political control at the time, recognizing that we have this amazing country, and sometimes your party wins and sometimes your party loses, chances are the pendulum will swing back at some point. It has historically. We've gone from more conservative to more liberal governments back and forth and back and forth over time, right?
Well, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that has been a common trait of American politics. But what's happening these days is everything has become weaponized. Every marginal change in who's ahead and who's behind is somehow focused upon. It's important to understand, pride in America is a good thing. You don't want it to be extraordinarily high. I mean, you got to remember that patriotism's evil twin is, extreme nationalism, jingoism, that sort of thing. We don't want to be my country always right or wrong. But I do think, you also don't want to be in a situation where, I'm not going to support the government. I'm not going to pay my taxes. I'm not going to vote unless the government's doing what I want it to do. You need a healthy balance there. And it seems like for a long time we had that in the United States. And we've certainly gone awry in recent years.
Yeah, and the political divide is a chasm now. It is a deep, deep gully, and there's no common ground in the middle. And I find that sad and unfortunate, and that the word compromise has become a dirty word in American politics and in government, and that we can't ever come to the middle together, because that means that you'll lose the next election. And so to some extent, I understand why people may be put off by that, turned off by that, and not as proud of America. Sure. But it is part of the process that we have. I kind of threw it out there earlier. Are there any nations in the world where, Americans would prefer to live? And I don't know that that's the case. It seems like everyone wants to come here still.
I think that seems to be the case. Certainly Americans like it here, and a lot of people who do say they, I might leave after the.
Thank you for the person who texted us. That is their favorite, most patriotic song. Makes them feel the most American on this Independence Day 2025. Keep the text coming on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870. Little James Brown, Living in America. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Tommy Tucker on this 4th of July. And, a lot of people I've had conversations with recently, particularly some younger people, don't necessarily have an accurate understanding of what we're celebrating today. So I figured, why not get a history professor on to give us a little American History 101? And John Fitzmaurice, instructor of history at UNO, was gracious enough to join us on this holiday to share with us the history of the 4th of July. Good morning and happy Independence Day, Professor Fitzmaurice.
Good morning, Dave, and happy Independence Day to you too, sir.
Do you find that your students at UNO coming in have an accurate understanding of the history of the United States now, or has that kind of been lost as we've seen American pride diminishing, patriotism diminishing? Maybe we don't spend as much time and attention on reinforcing American history as we have in the past?
Well, I think what many of my students have when they come in to my classes is an incomplete sense of history. But I find that many students want to know. They want to learn, and they want to know more about their country, and they want to know what happened back in 1775 and 1776 when we signed the Declaration of Independence and passed the articles that separated us from England.
So today is often known not only as the 4th of July, as Independence Day, but as America's birthday. Is today the day that America was born?
No. Today is not the day that America was born. Today is the day that America became or declared its independence from England. But America had been a work in progress from the very moment that the first European settlers began to settle and establish colonies here in North America. It was a work in progress, and for many of these people, whatever it was that brought them to America, whether it was the desire for religious freedom, a desire for economic opportunity, simply a chance for a new life, these are all the things that contributed to the creation of the notion that we have today of America.
So I guess we can't pinpoint an actual moment in time, an actual day when America was born, but we do know that this was the day in 1776 that we declared our independence from the United Kingdom, from the British, who had sent people over here to colonize the New World. And when did those seeds kind of start simmering? When was there the first conversations of maybe we won't be colonists, maybe we'll be our own country?
Well, I think that the beginning of the end for the association between the 13 colonies and England really started back in 1763 with the passage of the end of the French and Indian War, and then the passage later of the Stamp Act, in which now at last the idea of who was going to actually be the primary governing body of these colonies. Was it going to be Parliament back in London, or was it going to be the colonies and their legislatures or House of Burgesses or assemblies and whatnot? Who was actually in charge in the colonies? And that really started at the end of the French and Indian War and the Stamp Act crisis of 1765. And then, of course, things began to foment from there. You had things like the Boston Massacre. You had the Boston Tea Party. You had the Virginia House of Burgesses and Patrick Henry declaring "Give me liberty or give me death," and then finally it culminated with the beginning of the war in April of 1775, and then finally the decision by the colonies to say enough is enough, we're separating now from England once and for all.
We're talking with UNO History Professor John Fitzmaurice on this 4th of July about the significance of it and how it really is not America's birthday, perhaps, but it is the day that we, as a nation, declared independence from the Britons who had colonized this so-called New World. And I guess people really need to realize that it had to be difficult for a nation like Britain, for a monarchy, to over a massive body of water, thousands of miles of sea between England and the colonies here in the New World, to actually monitor, maintain communication, and govern when you had no telephones, no telegraphs, no internet, none of that stuff. Information had to be very, very sketchy and at a premium at the time. So I guess it kind of makes sense that there was this massive feeling of disconnect. between the colonists and the quote-unquote homeland.
That's absolutely correct. And even though the Atlantic was not so much this chasm, but a conduit of information and so forth, it was still a conduit of information that had to rely on time and distance. And so the Atlantic was in many ways a connecting force, but it was also a separation in which the colonies began to develop their own distinct atmosphere, their own distinct culture, outlook, perspectives. Remember that the colonies were not just English colonies. They were also Dutch colonies as well, French colonies in the Ohio Valley and in Canada. This was the beginning of a truly cosmopolitan style of culture in North America that England did not quite have. And so that separated them, as well.
Yeah, and we know that nowhere better than here in Louisiana, where we had so many flags fly over the land that is now Louisiana, and under the control of so many different countries and governments, and then new governments, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, a melting pot, no doubt, indeed, here in the New World. So we see these seeds simmering, we see this unfolding, we see the disconnect growing between the colonists and the Europeans. Lifestyle and the European governance and everything else. And then that kind of did culminate on July 4th, 1776, right?
That's correct. That was the decision to declare independence. That does not, and it's very important for many people to understand that July 4th is not the day that we became independent. It's the day that we declared independence, because when John Hancock signed on July 4th and then the rest of the 56 men signed between then and August, many of them said that we're either signing our independence or we're signing our death warrant, because the revolution and the Revolutionary War was just a year old. It would go on until 1783. And it was not until 1783 when England gives up, Great Britain gives up, and we sign the Treaty of Paris. That formally establishes us as an independent nation. But it's July the 4th that is the beginning of the process for independence. We have to fight for it. We have to go to war for it. I mean, Washington has to, cross the Delaware. Washington has to engage with France to win at Yorktown in 1781. It's a long, long process for finally separating the country from the mother country and establishing that independence. So it's a long process, and the Declaration is the start of that process.
Yeah, that's interesting you point that out. The Declaration of Independence wasn't even, I don't know if ratified is the right word, but completely signed on the 4th of July, 1776. You point out it took a period of weeks to get everyone's signature on the document before it became complete, and then another 7 years before the United States was actually recognized as a free nation. So, and I hate if you don't know, and I didn't mean to ask you something out of the blue, but do you know the date that the United States then was officially recognized as a country?
It was 1783. I don't know the exact date of the signing of the Treaty of Paris, but the Treaty of Paris is the moment where England says, okay, you're an independent nation. We recognize that. And the United States said, well, we've always recognized that, but now we have a treaty. We have it in writing that, we're no longer part of your governmental sphere.
Okay, so the United States, with the signing of the Declaration of Independence, said we are our own nation now, but before the British and the world recognized that, took 7 years of war. So interesting discussion about when is the actual birthday. Either way, today is our Independence Day. It is the day that the signatures began on the Declaration of Independence back in 1776. Professor Fitzmaurice, anything else you want to share with us before we let you run?
Well, simply this, is that, the Declaration of Independence is an amazing document. And it is one that deserves to be read. Every school child, either you're a sixth grade social studies teacher, you're junior, senior in high school, whatever it is that you're taking, your U.S. history should read the Declaration, because it is one of the finest documents ever produced. And it was not produced just by one man. I mean, everybody knows Thomas Jefferson wrote the draft of the Declaration, but the entire body of the Continental Congress came together to help craft and mold this document, which is a reflection of some of the highest aspirations of humanity in that document. And I think that this many in this country, and I'm not making any political statements in that, I think that many in this country need to go back and look at that document to understand the aspirations of the framers of the Constitution and the signers of the Declaration had for this country and what it can be.
We appreciate you joining us on this 4th of July and helping us understand the significance of this Independence Day here in the United States. And I think you're right. I think maybe understanding where we came from, maybe just maybe, could help us understand how to move forward together. Thank you, Professor. Have a great Independence Day.
Thank you, sir. You too. God bless you and God bless America.
God bless the United States. I'm Dave Cohen. We're back after this on WWL.